Okay. So, let's see where we're halting. We're halting that if employer gives money, hasn't given money to his worker, and the work isn't performed, even to no one's fault, an onus, then the worker doesn't get paid. The issue is, once you've given money to the employer's given money to the worker, what happens then? So we said, if it's a specific onus that prevents work being performed, then the worker can keep his money. Last week, we were talking about what happens if it's a global onus. Like the Carmel fire, where you hired the apartment, the fire came, stopped you to take use of the apartment. What's the din there? You've already prepaid. Do you still say the owner of the apartment can keep the money or not, since he's like the worker, because he's providing a service, and he's prepaid, and normally you say prepaid, then he can keep the money. We said since it's a global onus, then not only affects him, we say that the money goes back. That was with the Carmel fire. However, when it came to the Lebanon war, we said, based on the Matanei Ephraim, that even though it was a global onus that stopped people using the apartments which they wanted to rent for holiday purposes, but since the owners still were there and were willing to provide the service and they didn't go anywhere, the Matanei Ephraim is not published that since they've got the money already, then that's not called global onus in respect to them, and they can keep the money and you don't get your return of money in such circumstances.
Unless their house is blown up.
Unless their house is blown up in such circumstances. Because then they can't provide the service, because the whole story is, I'm here to provide the service, you don't come because of a global onus. Why? I've already been prepaid, I can keep the money. Now we move on to the down south. The Gaza war.
Covering it all.
That brought new shilas to business. What was the shilo of it? That because of all the missiles flying in and the dangerous situation which we're in, the government made announcements. All schools, gamin, and public areas are closed and no one's allowed to provide services in those areas.
But they didn't demand an evacuation.
They didn't demand evacuation. They closed all the public areas. Now the question arises, do the teachers, the governors, get paid? If they haven't yet paid, do they get paid? And if they've already been paid, can they keep the money? So again, this is a global onus. And what would you think over here? Is this comparable to the Carmel fire, where both sides can't provide the service, and therefore the money has to go back? Or is it comparable to the Lebanon war, where the one side are here to provide the service, it's just the people who wanted to get the service can't because of the situation? What is this comparable to when the government makes a statement that both the schools, the public areas have to close?
Aren't the teachers employed by the government? Aren't the teachers employed by the government?
And teachers, a lot of teachers are employed by the government, a lot of places are not.
So if they're employed by the government, okay, then I would say, you know, they got to get paid.
So if there's a specific minhag or contract which says you get paid even if you don't turn up because of these situations, then we're not discussing.
It's the same government that's saying you can't go to work that's employing you.
And if you're not a government employer,
then you have a shot.
Is it comparable to the Carmel fire where you have to give the money back because no one can provide services there? Or it's comparable to the Lebanon war where I'm willing to provide the service, you're not turning up because of the security situation. And therefore I keep the money and don't have to give it back. And that was last week.
I think it's comparable to the case where there's no rain. I'm ready to provide the service. I think we said that Paul keeps the money, no?
If he's prepaid, then he can keep the money. If he's not prepaid, then
right,
he doesn't keep the money.
I think
the government
won't let
me take it.
The government also
won't
provide it.
You're not allowed to provide it. In the Lebanon war, I'm here waiting for you to turn up. You don't turn up.
Sorry. I mean, it's like a caramel fire.
So it's like a caramel fire.
Right.
I can't turn up at being the teacher, and the child can't turn up. Children can't turn up. So both sides are affected by this global illness over here, security situation. Therefore, we would say it's comparable to the Carmel fire, and therefore, even if you pay them, you would get your money back. Even if you pay the teachers have to return the money. That's what we would naturally say. So let's look at Shulchan Aruch. Number one. Shulchan Aruch says, Simon Shulchan Aruch, the Tzaddik says like, in Borku Mach Mashinu Abe, it's because of the climate, everyone has to leave town. Habikasha Onus, it's got the status of a normal onus. Habikasha the pole and Malamit, and the workers will have to lose and not get paid. They don't get paid, even although this is a global onus that prevents them providing, both sides providing the service. So over here, they don't get paid. Everyone runs away from the town. The problem is number two. The Ramah in Shin Chav Aleph says differently. He says, Hu adin b'chol kyotzvizah. Whenever there's a situation where it's global, that's called Makas Medina. That's the Loshem we say. What do you do? Menakele mysterious. You don't pay the whole rent. But the chayim posit malam and malamid, and similarly we see by malamid, the teacher. Shagazra hamot shoshlo yimot, that they made a gezeira in town that you can't teach.
You can't learn.
You can't teach the Malamids, can't teach the child. Having Makas Medina, that is a global, it's a general onus that prevents it. And what's the din? Kol HaHetzes HaBalabayas. The Balabayas has to pay, even though no, he's not getting the service, and even if he hasn't paid, he has to pay.
Why?
What's going on over here? So naturally, we would say it's the same thing as the employer-employee relationship. And still it's saying over here, not only if you get paid, you don't give it back, but even if you haven't paid, you have to pay. Which is very problematic, because firstly, it doesn't fit with the Shulchan Aruch which you read just before. That if everyone runs out of town, then you don't get paid. And even if you're paid, you have to give the money back. And here we're saying that if you haven't been paid, you get paid. What's the difference?
Makas Medina.
Both cases are Makas Medina.
The first one is Makas Medina.
The first case is because of the climate, everyone has to leave town. That's a global onus. And therefore you don't get paid. The second case is they make a gezeira from the government that no one can teach in town. And it says over there that you get paid. What's the difference?
The Chaver specifically says having kishar onus, and this is not a machzina. You might think it's machzina, and the Chaver says no, it's having kishar onus.
It's a meneh of some sort.
No, first of all, it doesn't say you can't teach.
Okay, nice words, but why? You've got a nice stick, you've got a nice, this is onus, this is Makas Medina. But why should this be an onus and that be Makas Medina? Both are global, saying you can't provide the service.
Unless there's a typo here, it doesn't say you can't teach, because you can't learn. He's allowed to teach, just the guy can't show up for the class. So it's like in the Lebanon war, that I'm ready to, you can come to the hotel if you like. You don't want to? It's your problem. You're better off then.
The gezeira we're hearing is it's not that you can't teach. You can teach, but you can't teach to anybody. No one's allowed to turn up. So therefore that's not cool. That's called like Lebanon and not like Carmel. I'm here to provide the service, but you're not turning up. not here to provide the service.
In the case of Gaza, they weren't allowed to show up to work.
They weren't allowed to show up. Why?
The teachers couldn't show up either. Here the teacher can show up.
It's a difference.
Yeah.
So that is a dig which we seem to be saying. Now, let's see if that's true. The Oracle Shulchan number 3 answers this question. What's the difference? The Tam and the Ali. The reason is, when the worker is prepared to do the work, but the work is prevented from him performing it, for example, the river dries up, or the Tamidim themselves are the only ones who leave town, then you have to pay the Malamut. You have to pay the teacher. They're willing to provide the work, but there's no one here to give the work to. Abum the ace son of summer gave birth, but if because of the climate there is a plague going around, Borek Amalam of the Gamma Tamitin, everyone gets out of town. The teachers and the pupils, Hesed Shalom, then the Malamud can't provide the service, and therefore he can't get paid, and he gets money back. And that's what the Ramah means in Bahu, in the first case, that everyone left town. Everyone left town, they don't get paid. Because of the climate, everyone left town, then they don't get paid. Whereas in the case of Shinchab Aleph, where they do get paid, is that they're in town, wanting to teach, and they turn up, but no one's turning up, so then they do get paid. Exactly like the chilek that we heard. That is the chilek. So we're saying that if there's a gezeira which is only against the people who want to get the service, then the workers who are prepared to still give the service, they still get paid. So we're saying that that's like Lebanon, and it's not like the Carmel fire. Shin Lamed Daled is the Carmel fire, so you don't get paid. Shin Chabalot is Lebanon, so you do get paid. Now, there's a big, big question, and kasha, stira, bomba, whatever you want to say, that needs to be answered. And that is, we started tonight by informing and reminding everybody what we've learnt already for the last few weeks. That the whole issue is, once you get paid, do you have to give it back? If it's Carmel, you have to give it back, because you can't provide the service. If it's Lebanon, you don't have to give it back, because you're prepared to provide the service. But if you haven't been paid, for sure you don't need to pay. Doesn't matter if it's Lebanon or it's Carmel, you don't get paid, because you're not providing the service. So why in Shin Chaf Aleph does it say, even if it's like Lebanon, it says over there that if because I'm willing to provide the service and you don't turn up because of an onus, I still get paid. What do you mean you still get paid? How can you force him to pay? You're not providing the service. You only get paid if you provide service. If you don't provide service, then you don't get paid. If you give him the money up front, then there's a discussion, you need to give it back, Lebanon, Carmel. But if you haven't yet been paid, for sure, if you don't get the service, why should you pay? Why is there any difference from an individual onus, where we say, if you haven't paid, and you can't now provide work for the worker, then you don't need to pay him still, because it's an onus?
Because by a foil, it's a kinyan fully on it, by schiras, machlokas, whether it's
and therefore, let's ask the question that what the chilek is saying is irrelevant. Let's ask it. We saw many weeks ago there's a hire worker to water a field, and in the middle of the night rain comes down, and now the field can't be watered, or it doesn't need watering. The halacha is, if you haven't paid the worker, even though he's willing to do the work, you don't need to pay him. Yes? and that's talking about work. Once you haven't paid him, and therefore you don't now suddenly, you can suddenly back out of the deal and say not pay him because of an onus that prevents me providing you work. So why over here there's a global onus that prevents work being offered and provided, but still you have to pay him? Why? Why is there any difference? Anyone have anything clever to say?
Is there a flaw in the profession? Does it make enough to be a commander or a commander?
What you're saying is very good.
But?
That is the opinion of the Nesivus and the Chasam Sofer, who make differences like you. But it's not the opinion of the majority of other opinions, so we're not going to relate to that tonight.
No, I'm not a regular one, I'm sure you have.
Does anyone have anything good to say? You had something clever, we need good to say.
And the kasha on that, which I thought also, is that, as you pointed out to me, Orach HaShulchan uses them interchangeably. Kohol and Malame, he uses them in the same sentence.
He doesn't make a difference, yes. He for sure doesn't make a difference. Okay. So let me help you. And that is like this. Let us always go back to the status quo. Status quo is that I hire a worker and make a contract with him. That means I can't back out of the deal. And suddenly an onus comes that says I'm backing out of the deal. Naturally I would say, without kiddushin, that you still have to pay him. Because you made a contract, you made kinyonim, you made obligations on yourself. Okay, onus now, you still have to pay. But there's a chiddush in the Gemara that says, if it's an onus, then we say, then you don't have to pay him. Even though logically you should pay him, even although you're not getting the service because of the contract. The contract says you have to pay him, even, and you're backing out because of an onus, so you will naturally think you still have to pay him. There's a chiddush in your onus allows you to get off the hook.
Too late to throw out an idea?
You can still throw out an idea.
Maybe there's a fill-up between a regular employee or POEL long-term versus a one-time. So when it comes to like a hotel, so then it's a one-time thing, that's when this whole onus thing applies, only if you already paid the money. But if you have a regular relationship, even without a contract, but a regular relationship where he's working for you for a year or 2 years or 3 years regularly, then you have employee protections even without a contract.
Nice, but no. Because we don't see this chiddush anywhere. The Gemara doesn't say that he's only your one-time waterer and therefore we let him off. So naturally would say, because of the contract, you still have to pay, even if onus comes along the Gemara and the chiddush, that even though you've got a contract that's binding, and at the end of the day you're backing out and not providing him work, and naturally you should pay, but you don't have to pay because of an onus. Why? Because we say the onus, what is revealed to us, is that since an onus happens, we're saying that mazel tov is a concept of mazel. Hashem says, he's prevented the work being taken place, so that Hashem is saying, I'm preventing that work of getting wages. Because I did it just at this stage before he got the money in his hands. Before he got the money, he said, so now it's the one I'm affecting. It's a concept of muzzle. And that's why a new chiddush muzzle stops you, allows you to get out of the contract and you don't have to pay. But when it's a global onus, that says, it's a global onus. We can say that that's a concept of muzzle, bad muzzle for the worker. No. Global onus means that Hashem has decided that needs to be a marker on this whole area. Nothing to do with muzzle. Muzzle is that it only affects affects one or two people. But if it affects the whole area, it's not a concept of muzzle at all. It's not a concept of muzzle. It's a concept of makkah. Why is it makkah? Onus, teshuva, all other reasons, but nothing to do with Hashem wants to give bad mazel to you and good mazel to this person. It's a concept of a makkah. A makkah, we go back to natural understanding, that is, you made a contract, you've got obligations, you have to fulfill your obligations. The only way to get out of it is to say, it's his bad muzzle. When it's a global onus, you can't say it's his bad muzzle. So therefore, since you can't say it's a bad muzzle, then you have to pay, even if you haven't paid, because of the contract. The only thing allows you to break the contract, you can say it's his bad muzzle, and that allows me to break the contract. But if it's a global onus, well, I can't say pinpoint it's his bad muzzle, then no, I've got no way of getting out of the contract, and the contract obligates me to pay, because that's what I signed and agreed, and made kinyonim on, and therefore I have to pay, even though I didn't provide, get, or receive any
seven. Why 11 on 1?
Okay.
So why is the Kamel fire, which depends on whether you get more money?
Lebanon war. Kafala. You have to get paid. Well, Lebanon war, you don't give the money back. Yeah. Yeah. You're asking why is it not like the Carmel fire, or what you went?
No, Lebanon war. You should, even if you didn't give the money, you should have to pay.
So what's the difference in renting an apartment where we say that you only lose if you've already given the money? Like in the Lebanon war, you give the money, you can't get it back. And in the concept of the hard worker, where we say, even if you haven't given him the money, you still have to give him the money. What's the difference then? Now? Now that we say it's global, and you can't get out of the contract, so you can't get out of the contract in the rental as well. So you should have to pay, even if you haven't paid. What's the difference?
Maybe in theory one's not tied to their area. Maybe the POEL could go somewhere else and do it. Maybe let's relocate.
Yeah, but the guy didn't relocate. Yeah,
but the hotel is docked in that spot. Sphiris is docked in the place where it is. The POEL can go anywhere.
Now, because of this question, because of your question that you're asking, a lot of the acronym reject the Ramah and say the Ramah is not halakha. Because it doesn't fit with the concept of rental. Rental and hiring a worker are the same. If they're the same, then you should say the same halachas in both. And in rental, you're saying you don't get the money back, but you don't have to pay. And in the contract of an employer, you have to pay, even if you haven't paid, you have to pay. So that can't be. So the Ramah is not halach. That's the Vilna concept. Now, what way could you, but Zosuk, I agree, what I'm about to say is not an easy thing to say. But Zosuk get out of it, and you don't have to accept it because the Vilna Gaon didn't accept it. But in order to understand the remark in some sort of way, which is what we're trying to do, you can make a chilek like this. Is that when you rent an apartment, and an onus happens that the service can't be provided, what type of onus? Yeah, like the Lebanon war, the service can't be invited. The person who uses the apartment, who does that apartment belong to?
Well,
what's the contract by a rental of an apartment?
During the time that Sirius belongs to the tenant.
It doesn't belong to the tenant when he's using it. Even when he's using it, the apartment, it's still mine, the owner. And therefore, if you haven't yet paid money that prevents you being getting used out of the apartment, then use out of the apartment is still being affected on the owner of the apartment as well, because the owner of the apartment is still the owner of the use. He's still the owner of the use even when it's being used by somebody else and he's rented out to somebody else. But he's still the owner. The right is he gets it back after the series and he can do what he likes with it.
But in what sense is he the owner? He has no rights to it anymore.
He still has rights. What's the proof he's still got rights? You're not allowed to do anything to the object while you're renting it. You can't say, oh, it's mine, I'm going to dig a hole in this house now. I can build in this house. You can't. There are restrictions. So even when you're using the apartment, it's still under the ownership of the owner.
You could have a sale gummer with restrictions too. That doesn't mean anything. We said previously that clearance means that it's like a mekach temporarily.
Well, for example, we rejected that after last week. And yes, in a way it is. But doesn't mean it's totally like itself. So we, therefore, but in the work, when you're hiring a worker, and my obligation as a worker is to provide you a service. Your obligation is to pay for the service. There's no, now, what happens? You make that contract, and there's an ownership stops you getting use of the service, or getting the service into your hands. There we say that the person who's obligated, all he's doing is obligating himself to pay. I am obligating myself to pay to you based on this contract, yes? So therefore, when the onus happens, it's only affecting you, the person who's obligating himself to pay, is only affecting him and saying, ah, you've obligated yourself to pay, so now you have to pay unless you can break the contract somehow. Now, if you don't totally understand it, fine, because the Vilna Gaon didn't understand it. It's something for you to think about. There is a different way of looking at how your relationship is with the worker than how the relationship is with something renting an apartment. Now, what's the halakha l'maisa? The halakha l'maisa. What's the halakha l'maisa? In the case of getting back to our case with the Gaza war. And now there's everyone cannot come to work. According to the Ramah, you still get paid. Because it's a worker relationship, global onus in a worker relationship, even if you haven't get paid, you get paid. So what's the bottom line? Says the Chasam Sofer. Number 4. Ta'ibi Medivrei Chasam Sofer. It's brought down in the name of the Chasam Sofer, the Sefer Zichron. It happened a situation that there was a global onus that teachers could teach. Marcus Milkoma because of a war. Because of, and he writes the Chasam Sofer, Shehu Shilem Lamladim Kolsforim, that he personally paid all the teachers, all their wages, like the Ramah said. Abu Lagabi Kahal, but for me to paskin for other people, kosev shemechiv and shematas b'dino who umazel l'shteihem gorim, and really in theory it's everyone's bad mazel, kosher lahotzi momim, it's difficult to force you to pay. I came oser kosher l'shalim chatzi hasa, so therefore you should make a b'shora to pay half.
Unless you already paid, if you already paid.
If you already paid, for sure they can keep it. But if you haven't paid, I personally want to do lifting Rishus Hazim and go with the Ramah and pay. But for the public, to force them to pay, I'm not going to force them to pay. I make a bishara and they only have to pay half the wages. No, you say it's the Ikadim, they don't have to pay. Absolutely the opposite. Why? Because that's the concept in halacha in Choshen Mishpat, that whenever we have a doubt who the halacha is like. Because yes, that's what the Ramah says. But many Achronim argue, the Vilna Gaon, the Nesivus argues, the Sma argues. Lots and lots of Achronim will argue on the Ramah. Therefore, when it comes to Choshen Mishpat, we usually say the money stays where it is. But I want to do Lifnim Mishpat, then I pay my all wages. And as far as the civil goes, they should make a bishara and pay half the wages.
Where's this bishara here? I mean, we never had bishara before. So all of a sudden making an enforced bishara now.
And he's making an enforced bishara.
Yes, well, where did that concept come from?
But there, now we've got a liar to what Yirmi said. That that's to be held, that the Ramah says it's back to halacha. But because there are big Gedolim to be so mekom, therefore I don't want to force them to pay the whole lot. I'm willing to give them a 50% discount. This is what a gogol hazaka is.
So that's what it is. It's like
Eis Lasses Hashem. Yes, Eis Lasses Hashem. So much so that every halacha that now comes up, we rely on this Eis Lasses Hashem, and that's the halacha lemaisa. All the melamzin who have already received their money, they don't give it back. But the melamzin who did not receive their money, then we go with this chasen sofer to shara, and they get half. Now.
But the Chasim Sofer is a Yachid in the Bashara.
He's a Godzal Hazor.
But he's against everybody else.
He's a Machriya on himself.
So is everybody else. So their Hakwa is different.
There's some people who Machriya more than more. Okay. There's the Chasim Sofer, and then there's a Chasim Ish. Those two Hakoach Hakwa for those. Now. Let us move on to our final case on this whole topic we've been discussing for the last 10 weeks.
So wait a minute, so the Beis Din Paskin, the Gananot got half of what they were supposed to. The Beis Din Paskin, the Gananot got half of what they were supposed to.
Those who haven't been paid yet, those who have already been paid, can keep it.
Well, they can.
Those who already got the money, keep it. Now. Let's go to our final case on this topic. To go to this final case, I have to review all that we learned in the last 10 weeks. So listen very carefully.
Extra long shirts, guys?
No, extra long shirts. I'm going to say it in the space of 3 minutes. You have employer-employment relationship, and because of an onus, that prevents the job being offered. Rain comes, no fields. It depends who's holding the money. Whoever's holding the money will win in that case. If it prevents the worker performing the job, then even if he's been paid, he has to give it back. Like we had with the police investigation that prevented the advertisement industry from providing their services of advertisements. Yeah? If the owners is that the worker does work, but there's an onus that prevents you getting benefit from the work. So if it's an onus that's specific to the worker, like you ask the sofa to write the Sefer Torah, and Chas v'Shalom his hand gets cut off and no longer can write the rest of the Sefer Torah, the halacha is, I don't have to pay for the work, and what I've already paid, he has to give back. Because it's a specific onus to him. If it's an onus that is not specific to him, that he's done the work but you can't get benefit, like we had with the taxi that went to the airport, but the onus is there was confusion that they ended up in the wrong airport, then he has to get paid. Even if he hasn't been paid, he has to get paid. If there's an onus that says work has been done, but that work has been done from someone else who wasn't the one you hired, then we said you have to pay the one you hired. The answer is, it's a machlokas rishonim, and therefore whoever's holding the money keeps it. If it's a global onus, then if it's a global onus that affects both parties, then once you pay, you have to give it back. But if it's a global onus, which only affects the person who wants to receive the benefits, like in Lebanon, then we say that you don't need to give it back. And if it's a worker, like we're discussing, then halakhically, maybe you have to pay even if you haven't paid. So there we've done it. All the chazor of all the weeks. Now we come to our final case of baseball. And tell me what the halakha in this is. It's a very recent case. Somebody needed an operation. Not just one operation, two operations. With a month apart. He had to go to a private doctor. And the private doctor says, it's 10,000 shekels for the doctor. 10,000 shekels for the operation. Fine. So he had the first operation. And went successful. Now he's waiting for the second operation. And in between that month, when he's waiting for the second operation, the doctor dies. The doctor dies. The one who's supposed to provide the service dies. He can't do the second operation. So he goes to another doctor. And he asks, can you do the second operation? He says, yes. So how much is it going to be? 10,000 shekels. How can that be? It's 10,000 shekels for two operations, not for one operation. No. 10,000 shekels, and that's the going price if you ask even for just this one operation. Even if you ask for two, it's 10,000 shekels. But it's 10,000 shekels if you ask even for one. So now we come to Bishop. The relatives of the doctor pay the patient to Bishop and say, our father provided you a service. He gave you an operation. No, he hadn't yet paid him. He gave you the operation. He did a service for you. So pay. Okay, not 10,000. 5,000. Well, half the job he did for you. Pay. So he stands back and says, I didn't gain anything from the job because I still have to pay 10,000 for the second job. So the question is, do they have to pay the 5,000 to the relatives of the first doctor or not? There's an onus here.
But he did work.
He did work.
Like a dentist. With a dentist.
His own.
But he's saying I'm getting no benefit from the work.
The work is on.
Because I have to pay 10,000 for the second.
That's like delivering the medicine.
Yes.
The benefit
again. So how do you measure benefit? Do you measure benefit from the fact that I have to still at the end of the day pay them the same amount of money and therefore I haven't got benefit from what you said? Or do you measure by the physical service?
And what about the work that was done?
We know that if it's an onus and you got no benefit, you don't have to pay. If there's an onus and you get benefit, you have to pay for what you get. Well, how do you look at this case? Is this a case where you've got benefit or you haven't got benefit? On the money side of it, you've got no benefit. On the physical side of it, you do get a benefit. How do you look at this?
What about the case of delivering the medicine? The case where you had delivering the medicine. The job was just delivering medicine. Whether you got benefit from that or not, was it not?
Yes, but this is more like the case of I ask you to write a Sefer Torah and your hand gets cut off. I say, you've written half the Sefer Torah, I don't have to pay for that first half at all. Yes. So would you look at money or not? Okay, so the prices. Let's say prices goes up. Let's not ask a similar question. I hire a taxi to take from Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak. In the middle of the journey, a Shahar guy, he has a puncture and there's no way of fixing it. The person gets out of the taxi and hires another taxi. What's the price? The same price as it goes to Yerushalayim to Bnei Brak is from Shahar guy to Bnei Brak. Does he have to still pay the first taxi?
That's not the same case.
It is.
No, there he's not benefiting, really not benefiting. Getting halfway to his destination doesn't help him. He only can't...
Having half an operation,
he's
not benefiting.
He's
still going to die. He's
a healthier guy.
He's still going to die.
He couldn't have gotten the second operation without having the first one.
And he can't go to Bnei Brak without passing Shah.
Will he die for a long life now? Will he die later now?
Why would he want to go to Bnei Brak?
Does he have a prolonged life?
He went last week.
Does he have a prolonged life after the first surgery? I mean, is there any physical benefit to his body having
Let's
done
say
surgery?
No.
No.
No, he's had an operation. He's still going to die.
Okay, then it's like Sefer Torah.
Is it
if he hasn't had one,
he couldn't do the second one without the first one.
But it did nothing for him.
Sefer Torah, well, I don't want your Sefer Torah. Because to get another Sefer to finish off is not a nice Sefer Torah. Keep your Sefer Torah. Give me money back, I'll go to another Sefer.
So his only benefit
is
time.
I can't say keep the operation back.
His only benefit is time. He saved the day of time.
He also saved the job, a dangerous operation. And it passed it, okay?
Okay. So what would someone pay for saving that operation and time? And maybe that's how you measure it.
Let's remove the onus for a moment. If you have a power that backs out, he's mechuyev to reimburse the balabayas, where he has to pay another call.
Yeah,
right?
That's a natural thing. Normal thing, you ask a kablan to do a job, he's halfway through, and he suddenly doesn't turn up for 2-3 months. So you obviously you get a new kablan to do it. And now because you've got a new kablan, you have to end up paying much more money. Well, who's going to suffer that loss? Of course, the first kablan has to take off his, even although he's entitled for half the job, he doesn't get half the job. He simply backed out, without an onus, therefore he gets less money for the job he provided because I'm losing by the fact that I had to bring a new kablan.
So here the onus is
but here, because there's an onus.
But it's only on the phone.
Because there's an onus.
Yeah.
Does he get paid for half the job or not?
No.
No, we're not. It's only on him.
The onus is only on the worker. It's like the hand, the same term. It only affects him.
Is it like the Sefer Torah or not?
The only question is...
I'm still using it. If it's that same Sefer Torah, I didn't use it at all. No good Sefer Torah, two Sefer, no good. Here, I'm still using the first operation, but I'm saying it's not beneficial because I still end up paying the same money.
I'm not saying it's because of the amount of power to it. I'm saying it's because the Kohel is required to cover the expense.
Only if it's not an onus.
Even if it's only an onus?
Only if it's not an onus.
Only if it's not an onus?
My onus is an onus. So let's look at the Nesivus and he says like this. Lam. Base. Okay. After 4. By the Dabka, Kisokali Ligmor Hadova. Shenen Habash Vimasha Otsu. He gets paid only if the Balabayas get benefit from what he did. Ah, he gets paid even although Shehutsu. Even although he has to pay more now to finish it off, Mekomokum nevertheless, Hoshif Hana is still called Nana, still called getting benefits. So the receiver says, how do we define benefits? Did the five benefits at the end of the day physically? Are you using what the first worker provided? Yes. Hi. Monetary, you're not getting benefit. We don't look at benefit monetary. We look at if you're physically using what he provided. If you're physically using what he provided, that's called benefit, you have to pay. And therefore, you have to pay to this doctor.
How about the Sefer
Torah? Sefer Torah you can use. He said, I don't want the Sefer Torah.
Oh, but if he finished it with another one, then he would have.
Yes. Okay, next week, we're starting another topic which is related to employment law, which is called bribery.
Not this time.
How much do you have to pay?
You would have to pay him the value of the job he provides.
Well, not the 5,000 shekels.
It is 5,000 shekels, 5,000 shekels. Provide.
What is the value if it's useless without the second half?
Oh, let's say how much it would cost to have that one operation by itself.
Well, 10,000.
If it's 10,000, then we'll say that fact you charge 10,000 for both operations. So both operations are the same value, so we'll split it and you only have to pay 5,000. Because that's how the original person sets it up.
And could I say, could I, I'm the family of a doctor, could I say, you know, I know a doctor who's not as good as my dad, but he'll charge you 5,000 shekels. Can I force you to use that doctor?
You have, no, the family of the doctor,
yeah.
They get the 5,000, yes?
That's
what we're questioning. We get the money, yes?
Oh, we get the money regardless.
You get the money, 5,000. So they don't care what he does.